Hello and welcome to the International Career Couples Podcast. This is your host, Kate Galloway. As an expat and now a repat and a coach, I hope that this podcast helps expat couples who want to align and grow both their careers. Drawing from the experience of international career couples and experts, we aim to explore how expat couples can work as a team to understand and balance their personal and professional goals while living on the move. Hello and welcome to today's episode of the International Career Couples podcast. I'm back with Ian. We've had lots of requests for Ian to come back onto the podcast, and this time we're actually on the same room as each other, so that's quite nice. Last time we were struggling with audio difficulties and in different locations. So welcome, Ian.
Thank you. Yeah, hopefully it doesn't sound like I've got a bag over my head, this one.
Last episode, we spoke around our move from Aberdeen to Houston and back again.
Yeah.
And we said that we'd come on and talk about our second transition, which was when we started thinking about moving from Aberdeen to Dubai. And we'll just see how far we get in 15 minutes or so. And we're just talking off air that at this point we'd moved back from Houston with the first child, and then we had a second child in Aberdeen. We were home for about 4 years. So yeah. We'd done an extension to the house. We'd done all the typical things, extension to the house whilst having a baby. I had been doing part-time work. So I suppose the interesting thing for me from a career perspective was I didn't have a role to return to at the end of my maternity leave with Kieran. I'd left employment in the US, which I probably could have gone back to. But I didn't want to go along with the US family leave regulation. So I wanted to take the sort of UK year. So we'd done that, but we moved home within that time. And then while I was looking, I was fairly set in my mind that I wanted to work, but that I wanted to work very, very part-time hours while the kids were younger. So I don't know if you can remember, I was sort of looking at 2 or 3 days a week. Mm-hmm. And was really, really lucky to have got a 10-hour a week contract with a company that I'd worked with before. So that was fantastic. But then had stopped after Lewis and was looking to go back again. So I was definitely sort of part-time, but was still trying to continue my career. And then what was going on for you at that point in your career when you started to think about, because I think you started making noises of, I'm a bit worried about this, we might need to move. And I was probably digging the heels in a bit.
Yeah, so I guess it was the first time I'd gone freelancing when you came back from Houston. So that was a bit of a change in how I hadn't worked like that before. A lot of benefits to it, and also there's some additional risks, I guess, that come with working like that. But it had been very busy. Things, you know, there'd been plenty of work in Aberdeen at the time, for the first few years anyway, and then the industry was kind of going into a bit of an uncertain period round about 2015. Mm-hmm. And, career-wise, I guess I was maybe starting to feel I was stagnating a little bit, and I'd started thinking about doing some further studying or education or something, but it was really just thoughts at that stage. I don't think it was really serious, but it became more, I think, a question of job security and where the future was going to be for the next few years, and this opportunity in Dubai came up. I think it was something that we had to give consideration to.
Mm. I think what's quite interesting about your career is that almost exclusively when you've moved, it's been because you've been approached by people within your network. Particularly, there was a bit of a gang out in Dubai, wasn't there? Of people that were there. We'll give a shout out to Steve and Carla, who we always jokingly say we have followed them around the world because they were in Houston before us and then they were in Dubai and we followed them out to Dubai. And Ian's worked with them throughout his career from John Lewis all the way to Technip and on. So there was people who were out there talking to you about particular roles.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not an FBI. Friends, brothers and in-laws.
Yeah.
But no, definitely people that we've worked with at the early stages in Aberdeen in the early years that built some long-term relationships with and strong working relationships with. So that, I think that's the same with most most people. But yeah, it wasn't until probably coming back from Dubai. I think I had a couple of interviews with other places when I was in Dubai. But yeah, so my interviewing experience hasn't been that extensive over the years.
Yeah, or needed. Really needed. So you were sort of aware of what was going on in the industry. I was aware of it, but I wasn't in it at that time in the same way. What did you start to do? And I suppose what I'm kind of interested in, did you have an idea of I want to work abroad again? Or was it just, it's just about job security?
First and foremost, it was job security for me and making sure we could pay the mortgage and look after ourselves. But secondary to that, yeah, I think the Middle East and particularly Dubai was always somewhere that kind of interested us.
Mm-hmm.
Not massively, but it's certainly one of the nicer locations you can get posted to. So yeah, I think it was job security, and it was at the time it looked like the industry out there was going to be pretty busy for a number of years, so it seemed like a fairly safe bet to go out at that time.
So you get the nod, and I think it was how long till you went out? You went out quite quickly.
Yeah, I think it was within 4 or 6 weeks or something.
Yeah,
it was early 2016.
I followed about 10 weeks later. We won't go into. First time round, listeners, I planted a massive hedge, which is a beautiful hedge now. And the next time round, it was about getting the completion certificate on that house and Kieran's birth certificate. It was just a nightmare with two little ones racing around the place. But we got it done. And it was like when we got out there, you had pretty much everything organised. Again, your company was really good with the relocation in terms of allowing us to go over and take a look around. And you had pretty decent digs when you first arrived there. We had a few weeks in temporary accommodation before we moved into the house. So I suppose that's how the decision was made. Tell us a little bit about sort of the experience of doing that geographical move from a work perspective.
Yeah, another big sort of learning curve for me. So first time really I'd worked with sort of big national oil companies, NOCs, you know. And, you know, you're dealing with government. Government's basically there. It's public money that they're spending on the services that the contractors provide them. So a lot more scrutiny on things, and the size of these organizations is such that a lot of the time the people maybe you're dealing with at your level don't really know what the full picture is themselves. So it could be frustrating. It's frustrating at times, but also really interesting just to see how these organisations actually operate, the size of them and the scale of the operations they have. So obviously there was the Middle Eastern cultural side of things, which was really interesting and enjoyed learning about that and getting introduced to it. Definitely got a different outlook on that part of the world now, and feel that maybe understand their culture and politics a lot more than I did before.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose from my perspective, I moved again without a job and was reasonably comfortable with that. The first 3 months was the usual setting things up and getting the kids settled and, you know, doing what needed to be done. But I do remember the first, I think I had one morning where I had a chance to go and sit by the pool and immediately just thought, no, I can't do this. And signed up to do my master's. So within the first year, I think I completed my master's, not the whole three. I'd done 2 years of it already. So it was the final year. I started looking at training to become a coach. So in the time in when we were back home, I'd done work with Childline as a volunteer and had really enjoyed that work and had been looking professionally. Was I actually going to make a change? So I was already in that state of flux of, do I carry on in HR? Do I train to be a therapist or a counsellor? Or which had always been in my mind that I'd quite like to do, and came across professional coaching as an option. But also I had contacts within Dubai, other people that I'd worked with. So I think for both of us, it's a shining example of how your network is really important.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously in our case, we're moving to do two countries that are big oily, you know, there's big oil industry there. So it was natural that I had people within my network that I'd worked with before. And one of my friends said, can you come along and help as a contractor? Which is an amazing opportunity, something you don't really get in Dubai at all. Basically said, tell us what hours you can do and, you know, we'll take it, which was great. So I got to go and do some really, really interesting work with them. Great company, good fun. Got to work in that environment whilst I think I was finishing the master's and started my coach training at the same time.
Yeah.
I think it's quite a lot, actually. When I think about it, that's quite a lot in 1 year. And the boys were little and
still young.
Lewis is in nursery and Kieran started school because she started school a year earlier and what have you. So I would have had the option probably to stay there a little bit, but decided, had another opportunity through coaching with a company that I still do work with, who said, would you come and help us set up what we're doing in Dubai? So although I didn't go there with a job, actually, when you look at it, there was quite a lot of opportunity that would have been there. And actually, there was probably quite a few people that I could have reached out to in the HR world.
Yeah.
When I think about it, maybe 3 or 4 people that I could have gone to. It's just really nice the way that it worked out.
Yeah. And then pre-COVID, you were doing the coach training stuff from Dubai, wasn't it?
That was really the setup. So that was... through my coach training, I got introduced to a company and they were setting up in Dubai. So I helped them and I did all of their coach training. So it was really, I always felt that it was a link to the HR world and coaching, but definitely the move that I wanted to make, and actually the part of HR that I was probably always most comfortable in, the bit that people would give me feedback on and saying that, you know, it worked well with them when I worked with them in that way. So although I'm not following a traditional career now, I'm not within an organization, I still feel that my career has been important the whole way along. But it was sort of a secondary thing because I was still making sure that, to the most part, we didn't get kind of help in to help with childcare and whatnot. At certain times, we'd have a bit more help. Maybe somebody would come and babysit. Or the great thing about Dubai is there was a great mums network, so we were all helping each other out with work if we needed to. So I still felt like I was progressing, and you were progressing. We had COVID, of course, which turned things upside down a little bit for me. But again, I was able to flex with it, so it really worked quite well. You went through quite a few. I think the organisation had a few difficult times and.
Yeah, incredible amount of change in leadership managers and just buying, taking over companies, going into Chapter 11 and all the difficulties that come with that. So yeah, it was quite a challenging 6 years working out there. COVID, I guess, one of the things about that which kind of worked well for me in a way was I just started my master's in 2019, towards the end of 2019. So when we went into lockdown, I was just right in the middle of probably the most difficult module that I was doing. So that worked quite well because I could probably have spent a lot more time on it without distractions of the outside world.
Absolutely. So we had 6 years. We went for 3 years in my head. We were there for six and a bit. And I suppose for me, it was always kind of fairly concrete that we would come back for Kieran, our eldest, to have the secondary education or be able to be at primary school for a year before he went on. Of course, I got a bit confused because they were in the English system there, where they go to secondary school a year earlier than they do here in Scotland. So when I started to make quite, I suppose, a couple of years before, I was phoning around the schools that might be potentials for us where back home. And for the lady to say, oh no, he won't be going to secondary that year, he'll be doing it in this year. So we realised we had an extra year to play with, and also that we could get Kieran to primary seven before going to S1. So the next decision actually wasn't a career decision. It wasn't about the industry. It wasn't about really what would be going on for us. That had to work. But we started trying to affect how do we move home, keep the careers going, but move at the right time for the kids.
Yeah, probably the most difficult. Well, I'll say most difficult. I think the decision to do it wasn't difficult because it was what we both were aligned in doing, but the impact of it or the uncertainty of it coming back was probably the most difficult part of it.
Yeah. So we're probably moving into that third transition there. So we could wrap up. So the next installment of Kate and Ian's, or Ian and Kate's Travels Abroad, will cover how we advocated for ourselves, the vision board, which I still think about, you know, when we did that work and you came home with the whiteboard and the pens to sit down and talk about what the future looks like. We'll go into all of that and a little bit about what's happened next, because we wouldn't really have predicted that we'd be living the way that we are now or working the way that we are now. That was an unknown.
Mm-hmm.
I'm quite proud of us how we've navigated it, actually. So hopefully that'll be useful for people to hear.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for coming on the show.
No problem.
It was fun to have that second conversation with Ian about our moves. And we look forward to bringing the third installment to you next month or so. I think you can probably hear as we're talking that the planning part of our careers wasn't really there. So neither of us have been people that have really thought this is the next role that we want and that we've been working towards. But when we've been in roles, we've been able to see what the next step might be. It certainly wasn't planned that the moves would happen as they did. And we weren't necessarily planning at that point how our two careers would align with each other. We were lucky that they were able to. And along with what was happening with us from a family and personal perspective. So I suppose the planning came in a little bit more when we started to do the move back to the UK. And we look forward to bringing you more information about that next time round. Thank you for listening into this episode. As we said, that we'll pick up on that third stage where we moved from Dubai back to Scotland. Within this conversation, you could hear about how circumstances led to the international move, the uncertainty, the job insecurity, Ian feeling a bit stagnated within his career. We shared that it was important for us to have a network to lean into, really important, that there was big learning opportunities, particularly for me, to extend my education. So there was progression there. There was a lot of uncertainty in terms of course, COVID that everybody experienced. There was uncertainty within Ian's organisation. There were more than a few times that he would come home saying, I'm not sure, you know, what's going on or what to expect, and talking about what that might mean for us. So lots of uncertainty there, and then uncertainty created when we decided that we would move home and that we needed to advocate for ourselves to do that. So we look forward to bringing that to you next time round. Thank you as always for listening in. It's so lovely to see the numbers of listeners growing all around the world. And if you'd like to find out more about the work that I do, you can visit my website on www.kategallowaycoaching.com. Follow me or link with me on LinkedIn, and you can follow me on Instagram as well. Thanks so much.